something practical and how to do it, because there are loads of gifts, and every gift have a kind of specific dynamic in it acting it out. So I thought I'm gonna just give you some encouragement today and some testimonies, some examples, and then I'll leave Richard and Lewis to kind of follow up and to give some more practical things, maybe in your small groups, maybe to do some practice, you know, prophesying over each other, pray. I saw you praying for sickness, so that's great. You know, so you have to start something with this teaching, okay? Because otherwise, you know, how many good sermons you heard? I'm not saying this will be a good sermon, but how many good sermons you heard? You would be a saint if everything was lived out in your life. You know, so you have to make sure you live it out, you know, in the small group, as you go out, your family, your friends, because otherwise it will be just a great theory. And actually, shall we pray? Let's just close our eyes and pray. Do you want to be changed? Jesus, we ask you to come to our hearts in this service and change our hearts. Lord, we don't want to leave today as we came in. We want something to change in our heart so we will be able to love more, love you more, and love our brothers and sisters around us more. Lord, we ask you to come and open our hearts. Let your revelation change us. Lord, I give permission today to change my heart. Lord, I give permission today to challenge me, to call me out from my comfort zone. Give permission for you to shape my heart. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great. Gonna start with a little story. I don't know if the PowerPoint is, oh, it should be working. This is about a family. Yeah? This is the family. You have to use your imagination here, okay? You have to imagine three children in the 18th century. Sit up. So this is the family. This is in the 18th century. This is a poor, poor English family who had almost nothing to live on. So they decided they're going to sell everything, all their possessions, to buy their tickets to America, to New England, they called, you know, the land of promises, honey flowing and milk. So they purchased the tickets and they went on this journey. On those days, the journey took 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, you know, with great ships like this. So they went on the ship. But the problem was they didn't have any money left just to purchase their tickets. So they have to just live on bread. You know, first week is fine, you live on bread. But then second week, the problem was, you know, the bread is getting molded and dry. So they struggle kind of to eat the bread. But what can they do? They have to survive because the promised land is waiting for them. And that's the purpose. And they watch other people, you can go on. They watch other people, the rich, going to the restaurant, you know, nicely dressed up, eating nice food and enjoying the journey. But what can you do? You know, they are poor. They spent all their money on the tickets. So as time goes on, and the slides are going on as well. You know, that's how the bread looks like, but they have to survive on something. What can you do? But last day comes, and the father gathers the family, tells the children, "I have some good news for you. I saved some money after I purchased the tickets. So on the last day of our journey, we can go to the restaurant as the rich. So we can eat the nice food." And the children, I mean, imagine living on that. And then imagining the restaurant, beautiful. So they dress up, they wash themselves, dress up as best they can, and they go to the restaurant, beautiful restaurant on the ship. They have the 3-course menu for them, and they are enjoying really much the meal. And then at the end, as they finish the meal, who comes to the table? I can go on, Richard. The captain itself. And, goes into conversation with the father, and they talk about, what are their plans in America and all that. And at the end, the captain tells them, why didn't you come, before the restaurant? That's the first day I see you. And, the father is ashamed. We are poor. You see, we didn't have much money to come, but we could afford the last day, and we are so happy we could see you and to come to the restaurant. And then the captain looks just shocked. Looks at the father and says, "You didn't know that all-inclusive restaurant service is included in your ticket?" What's included in your ticket? What's included in your ticket? Oh, it's a painful story. I love this story because it just makes you realize there might be things, promised to us, which we don't know about, which are included in our ticket, but actually we live for the promised land, for the hope of the promised land, but actually we don't live the full potential of the journey. And speaking today on the supernatural, that's my feeling as we are going in the Catholic Church and in Protestant churches, that's my feeling about the supernatural. We live on bread. We live on bread. Sometimes it's dry, molded bread. Sometimes it's fresh bread. It's still just bread. And you can do one day on bread. No, but they live the whole journey on bread. It's painful. It's painful. And my friend, when I told this story before, my friend said, because I never thought of that, he said, "When I saw the captain, I thought, that's Jesus. And I don't want that question to be asked from Jesus on the last, day. You didn't know that this is included in your ticket? And I don't want to face him knowing that there was much more. There was much more in my ticket. There was much more in my ticket." And you see, I want to be clear now. First we have to know our identity, and I'm sure as a church you know your identity as sons and daughters. We are not slaves and not servants, and that's the first pillar we have to build, the supernatural on, because otherwise you're going to become a slave, a servant for God, who God uses for his purposes. But actually we are saved by faith for these good works. We are already saved by faith in Jesus Christ, we just remember that in the communion service, into these good works. God is offering us these good works, these supernatural works, but it's not that, because otherwise you can, I lived in there, and I see many people living in there, where actually you feel you wanna meet the expectations of God, because this is the expectation of the Bible, this is the expectation of your church. And actually you feel you're not good enough for God, or you're not. And that's the first thing we have to really believe, 100%. I'm a beloved son and daughter. However I perform in the supernatural or not perform, I'm still a beloved son and daughter, saved by faith. Okay? And this is, we have the journey. We are granted the promised land. The question is how do we spend the journey? You know what I mean? And that's what I teach on. But it's really, really important to see, because otherwise we can leave today quite depressed that actually the bar is just high and I'm not hitting the mark. And I lived there for quite a long time, just feeling not being good enough, not being, when I read the Bible, I'm just feeling, Lord, the standard is pretty high. I'm not meeting that. Especially in this area. So I'm still beloved. I'm still beloved. So, okay. I forgot to bring my Bible. Typical Catholic. No, I'm not typical. That was a joke. Okay, please laugh on that. Actually, I have my quotes here. I just wanted to show something from my Bible because I'm going through my Bible now and color coding different topics. I don't know if you do that. That's a really good way of just emphasizing different topics in the Bible. And I have purple for the supernatural. Everything which is supernatural, words of knowledge, prophecy, healing, walking on the water, everything. And I'm amazed how my Gospels are getting purple. My Gospels are getting purple. If I open the pages, that's the shocking color which just comes through. I have red for the love of God, which is, you know, beautiful. I have quite a lot in that, you know, in the Gospels. But purple is the dominant color. And I thought, gosh. And then I was sent a few years back to Portugal by the community to run a conference and a healing service. And I felt God wants me to prepare reading through the Gospels and just read the healings in the Gospels. And I was shocked that one page after the other is another healing, or it's two healings in this page. You know, after, just read it after the Sermon of the Mount, Matthew, you know, 7, 8. It's just one healing after the other one. And I just felt, gosh, this wasn't a sideline for Jesus. This just wasn't an addition to his mission. You know, he's doing this and that, and then sometimes he's healing some sick, sometimes he's giving some prophecy, but that's kind of, you know what I mean? It was essential in his mission. It was core of his mission. And that's what I realized, because I studied engineering. You know, I'm really practical, down to earth. I want to understand things, and the supernatural is not my cup of tea. I have to tell you, because I cannot explain why is it happening. You know, what's the physics behind? So I don't really like it, to be honest. But I had to have a second kind of conversion in my life where I realized this is not an option. This is not an option. When I look at the Bible, it's purple. It's purple. It was dear to Jesus' heart. I cannot say it's not in my calling. I cannot say I'm called to mercy ministry, I'm called to preaching, I'm called to whatever. This is not really my cup of tea. I honestly feel now Jesus didn't give that option. He said, all those who believe, these signs will follow. Because in the big commissions, he's sending out the disciples, you know, to heal the sick, to cast out devils, all that. But then, I think in Mark, end of Mark, he's saying, and these signs will follow those who believe. So he's not just sending the 72, he's not just sending these 12. He says, these are for all who believe. And I had to realize in my life, it's not a matter of choice whether I like to pray for the sick, whether I like to pray for people, for Christians or not Christians, for healing or for prophecies, words of knowledge. This is actually the desire of Jesus for all those who believe. For all those who believe. Actually, he's saying it's a sign for those who believe, so I don't want to follow that through. But it's actually quite challenging. It's quite challenging. Quite challenging. And we can see, you know, that if you do, I'm doing now the Acts of the Apostles color coding, and it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's getting purple. It's getting purple. Because the early church understood this. They understood it. That's how Jesus lived. That's the commission we got, so that's how we're going to live. I mean, imagine Peter goes to prison, comes out miraculously, and then knocks on the door, and the servant opens it, goes up, and says, no, Peter's at the door. And they say, oh, no, it's just the angel of Peter. So for them, seeing an angel is more natural and normal than somebody gets out of prison. You know what I mean? It's just, how many angels have you seen? The early church lived something radically different. You know, Peter's going on the streets and just his shadow cast on the sick, heals the sick. You know, Paul prays over cloths and pieces of cloths, and they're sending it to the sick, and they're healed by the anointing of the cloth, transferred through the cloth. That's unbelievable. And when they are persecuted, look what happens when they are persecuted. It's Acts 4:23-30. They're persecuted, they're beaten, and they're told, don't ever speak in this name. They go back to the church, and that's their prayer. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hands to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. You see, that's their reaction. They are persecuted, they are beaten. They are told not to ever speak in this name. And they go back and say, Lord, give us more. Give us more. And actually, they are persecuted because they healed the paralytic. They are persecuted because of a sign, supernatural sign. And then they are praying for more. Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, we might say, well, for Jesus it was easy because he was the Son of God, you know, walking on earth. So it's easy for him to, you know your sins or know your past or heal the sick and all that. That's actually a heresy. The church in the history had to deal with that heresy. We believe, I hope we agree on this, Richard, we believe that Jesus was fully incarnated in a human flesh. And actually, Paul says that he became like one of us, except sin. He became like, he wasn't cheating. He wasn't like a supernatural Son of God walking around and just touching people and you are healed. I know your past. He was doing that through the Holy Spirit. As a man. No cheating. No, and actually he says, if that's not clear as a theological point, he says in yeah, he says in John 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will do, because I am going to the Father. You know, he's just, it's really clear, and needs no explanation. I'm going to the Father, you've seen my works, you're going to do these and greater. And then in another passage in John 16:7, he's saying to the disciples, it's better for you if I go away, because if I go away, I send the Holy Spirit to you. Well, now imagine, because we know this verse and it's kind of familiar, but imagine for the disciples, what this means for the disciples. I think I have a picture of that, the disciples walking with Jesus. You know, they 24/7, they spend all their time with Jesus, seeing the works. I mean, imagine if Jesus knew everything about the Samaritan woman. You know, he had the same with the disciples. He just had a really close relationship. He answering the questions, all that. And just imagine Richard being Jesus. Okay, just stretch your imagination. I think that's more than imagining the family. Richard is Jesus. You know, every Sunday you turn up, you meet the Son of God incarnated in your church. Healing the sick, you know, giving the teaching what you have in the Bible. Everything you can imagine Jesus giving to you. And they had that 24/7. And then Jesus comes up and says, it will be better for you if I go away. Do you see that there's a problem there? At least for me, there is a problem there. Because I feel, I don't know if it's better for me, Jesus. I'm not sure. And I was praying with this Bible verse, meditating on it once, and I felt God is saying to me, son, you don't know who the Holy Spirit is. You don't really know who this Holy Spirit is and what's available for you in the Holy Spirit. Because if I knew, you know, this verse would make sense. This verse would make sense. Actually, I'm not sure if I still can honestly say in my heart, it's better for me that Jesus is not here standing next to me 24/7, because I have the Holy Spirit. And you see, this is not about being up to the standards of Jesus or of the Bible. This is about allowing your heart to be broken on something where you feel, Lord, there is more in there. And I don't really live that. Lord, give me, or at least show me what else is there. Because I don't really comprehend. I don't really live that. No, and just when you read these scriptures, just allow your heart to be broken and feel, I don't understand that, Lord. How is that it's better for me if you go away and send the Holy Spirit? How is that, Jesus? What are you saying? What am I missing out? Normally we go together with the community and then we have many people sharing. I'm going to just share some testimonies, from my own experience or from the community or other things we see. But it's good actually when other people share as well, because then you're going to see this is not just for a few chosen one. God wants to pour out the Spirit and wants to pour out the supernatural on everybody. On everybody. This is for all those who believe. This is not for just some supernatural heroes we watch on YouTube. This is for all of us. For all of us. Gonna share some stories with you. Hopefully gonna get some hunger in your heart. Yeah. Gonna skip some things. Do you know about Azusa Street? You heard about the Azusa Street revival? You know what kind of happened there, or yeah, not everybody. Okay, it was probably the beginning or a big milestone, at least in the Pentecostal movement in the church. They had some supernatural before in the Protestant churches, but at Azusa, it just shoot up to the sky. I mean, they had meetings. They didn't have famous speaker or anybody like that. Seymour was, the catalyst, but not really coordinating it. And they were just praying 24/7 there. And the miracles they've seen, it was 100 years ago, limbs were growing back in front of their eyes. No, blind eyes were coming back. The people who weren't believers would fall prostrate on the street 100 yards away from the building. This was an old stable, by the way. It's not a magnificent church. Old stable. And the power of God was so present for about 3 years, then people fell on the street regularly. They called out 3 times the fire brigade because they saw the whole building in flames. The brigade came out, it was nothing. It was so powerful. And then 2 people who were really important in this movement, Seymour and Parnham, they had the same prophecy. Being two kind of coasts of America, they gave the same prophecy. They said, Acts chapter 2 was the former rain. This is the later rain. They say this about Azusa Street. In 100 years, it will be the former rain and the later rain together. And it won't just be one location like Azusa, but it will be all over the world. They didn't know about each other. They gave the same prophecy at the same time. They didn't have mobiles. They actually didn't agree on many things, so they didn't talk at that time. It was recorded that they gave the same prophecy in 100 years. This anointing was going to come on all the churches. And actually, that's what we see. Just to see what happened 20 years ago and what's happening now, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I don't know if the video will work. You have a video about Sean Bolt. Do you know Sean Bolt? These are some books about people who are high in supernatural. This is the street, the building.
This is either really God or it's not. And it's okay, because I'll try other stuff too, but I have to start with this. Please let this mean something to somebody, God. Polka duck. Polka duck. You're raising your hand. What does it mean? No! This is real. Like, for real, for real. Polka, like the dance, duck. You have a business named Polka Duck. Wow. I told you, Rory, it was going to be a weird one, and that worked. Thank you, Jesus, it worked. Do you realize how nerve-wracking it is to say Polka Duck? I mean, it's a cute name, but I would have never thought anything with Polka Duck would be in this room tonight. Is polka in Australia even as a dance? I mean, it's like such a... Okay, you guys have polka. Like, we in L.A., no one's heard of polka. I mean, it's like, wow, it's such a Polish thing. That's amazing. And, okay, wait, come all the way to the front. And if you have family with you, bring them with you. Yeah, everyone can sit down for a minute. I want her to come to the front. This is so cool. God knew you were going to be here. Polka Duck. I'm just going to grab your hand because I'm nervous and I to pray for you. Holy Spirit, come. You guys are such a Renaissance couple. You're such a Renaissance. Oh, man, you guys are so creative. And this has to be like a creative, like clothing and sweaters or maybe scarves or something and shoes and things like that. Does that make sense? I'm seeing Etsy. My wife loves Etsy. Is it on Etsy? Can we get your stuff on? Everyone go to Polka Duck. Is it literally polka and then D-U-C-K? Okay, so remember that because I feel like the Lord loves this business more than you do. And he's promoting it. And there's going to be a new installment of grace and favor that's going to take it outside of an Etsy shop. He says there's retail space for this business. There's place for this business. And it's going to help provide for these three little girls. Is it three little girls and a boy? So these three girls and a boy, and this is going to help provide. And the Lord says that you must be like, are you Matthew?
They don't have badges.
So the Lord says you've been mining for gold, but you got salt. What does that mean?
Other business, yes.
There are other, what do you mean it's your other business? What does that mean?
Salt mining industries.
Salt mining industries. Well, he's saying you're the salt of the earth. You're helping to, is this also clothing somehow? So this is also clothing. And the Lord's saying you're salting the earth, that you're literally going to be called to the influencers, especially creative influencers, to help them to have their saltiness and not lose it. And I feel like the Lord's saying that you're onto something that you've been laboring over for a while, but is going to give you just the key wisdom on how to bring it to its fullness. The key wisdom, and it's not 10 years from now, like something's going to start happening over the next 2 years where you're going to see a breakthrough for what you've labored for. The Lord says it's no Great. Longer plowing.
Great. I mean, he prays up longer for that. But I just want to see, we saw him about 2 months ago in London, and he was giving words like that, about 15 words like that, just calling out dates, names. You know, he called out a girl by her birthday and name, and then he said an address, and he said, does this address mean something to you? He said, that's my previous address. I moved a few years ago from that address. And he said, the Lord has given you a vision in that address. Is this right? About the business. And this business is going down now, but God wants this business to flower, and he was praying for that. The girl was just in pieces. Because it's one thing to have a conversation with somebody and try to encourage. But when you say, you know, does this address mean something to you? And did you have a vision about a business? And God wants to build this business up. You know God is speaking. You know that it's not just somebody got excited and wants to say some encouraging words. You know God is speaking now. And he was giving words like that. Bang, 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 one after the other. We were so moved. And just to see the impact on people, because it's not about, wow, how amazing, how cool that is. It's just to see the impact on people. Just to see how this goes through the heart. He achieved in 15 minutes more than in 3 hours counseling, you know, with a word like that. We had somebody over on Thursdays. We have prophetic sessions. People sign up. They come for a prophetic session. We pray in the morning for half an hour for them, and we don't know who is coming. And then in the afternoon, we go and pray for the person, and we share what we received. And a lady turned up, African lady, And so we don't know who she is. We shared the words. We got some things about her ministry, you know, that she's working with homeless. She's doing some Christian counseling. And she was just crying. We didn't know what's happening. So we just shared the words. We asked, does the name Samantha mean anything to you? Because we felt Samantha is a friend of yours who you help each other spiritually and God wants to strengthen this relationship. She was crying even more. And then we finished the prayer. We asked, so Heidi's, give us some feedback. And she said, I really feel that God thinks I'm doing something all right in my life. That's somehow, she phrased it somehow differently, but that was the message. She didn't know whether she's doing anything right in her life. She didn't feel God is part of her life. Now, she was raised up as a Christian and all that, but she didn't feel that the things she's doing, it's in God's will. And she said, now that she's going every week to homeless people to help them. She's doing a lot of Christian counseling. Samantha is a really good friend of hers. You know, they do a lot of talking about spiritual matters and they encourage each other. And I felt in that half an hour, I did more than often I did in you know, long hours and hours trying to help somebody. Because I felt God is there. Now, as Paul says, I'm not preaching you just in words, but the faith I'm giving you is based on the signs and wonders. Because Paul didn't want these people to just believe because of the words, although that's really important and necessary, but our faith has to rely on God's power. God's power. We are on Tuesdays, we are going on the streets to evangelize and pray for the sick and just to talk to people. And one day, we are going to Hounslow most of the times, and there are loads of Jehovah's Witnesses. And have you ever had a conversation with them? They cannot be moved out from their faith, can they? I mean, they are like a rock. This is what I believe, and you're wrong. That's their message. So, this is a mistake to go into a conversation with her. And I was arguing about different, you know, themes in the Bible and all that. And I was with Maria Jose, with my community sister. And she was in silent in the background. And one moment when I was catching my breath, she said, excuse me, do you have a daughter? And she said, yes. Does your daughter have a serious sickness, life-threatening sickness you're really worried about? And then you could see, you know, her eyes starts to get wet. She starts to, you know, she didn't know how to handle that. Because she knew how to handle a conversation about theology and the Bible. But God has acted there. You know, God has revealed something to my sister, which was just cutting through her heart. I have to tell you, the conversation was changed from that point. We didn't get her to come out from Jehovah's Witness and all that, but something was changed in her. She was so moved. And I'm sure she will go home and she will think about it. God has spoken to me personally today. No, and we see that every time we prophesy for people. You know, when Jesus did that, you know, it was a sign when she prophesied for those Samaritan women. You know, the whole village came out because of her testimonies. She was so ashamed that she didn't go to the well in the normal hours to get water. She went in the sun, in the heat, because she didn't want to meet people because of her past. And now she is used to bring all the village to Jesus because of a prophetic word. So that's what I feel. It's not a complementary addition to our faith and to our mission. It's a core. It's essential, as you said. It's essential. Because the fruits we can bring into the kingdom, you know, it's just unimaginable. It's the difference between the bread and the feast you've seen. The fruits you can bring into the kingdom. I don't just want to speak about healing. I want to mention some things about supernatural in the physical world. You know, we saw Jesus walking on water, multiplying food, And when Jesus is asking Philip, that's my theory, you know, give them something to eat. Do you think Jesus, who had that accurate words of knowledge about the Samaritan woman, didn't know we don't have bread? I think he knew that they don't have bread. Then he wanted them to perform now a supernatural act. Anyway, they weren't ready, probably, at that point. We've seen that many times now. Food is multiplying. We went to India. We've seen that in our mission trip. Other people came back from Indonesia, from the same kind of organization, and they said, you know, they just had a handful of beans. They had loads of kids to feed at the slums. And they cooked the beans, and they were serving the children, and it wasn't running out. It just wasn't running out. And they had, the children had enough, the team had enough, and they still had leftover in the pot. They just didn't know what's happening. We were students running a conference, and students don't have much money, as you know. We couldn't cover the costs. We had not nearly enough. And we met with the leadership, you know, we discussed what can we do. It was about £180 converted to pounds. And we felt, well, we have to pay somehow, or we didn't know. So we prayed, and we went home. This was Saturday evening. And as we were walking home, literally as I went on the pavement, I saw money folded in two, put on the pavement. Now, that's not something which happens in Hungary, okay, just in case you're wondering. So I went, picked it up, we counted up, it was the exact sum we needed for the retreat. I don't know if that money just appeared or God prompted somebody to put that money down on the pavement. I believe it's the second option. But God wanted to provide. And he did. We heard some stories about a pastor, you know, losing his laptop. And as we know, pastors' laptops are important because all his sermons and important stuffs are there. So he was praying, you know, God, you know, I have loads of important things on my laptop, so please do something. So nothing happens. Nobody returns the laptop to him. So he decides to go and buy a new laptop. So he goes to the shop, buys a different laptop, brand new, opens up, and everything is on the computer. Now, where one of my community members, really honest guy, I love him, he heard that, he just said, I can't believe that. I just can't believe that. I have to be honest, I can't believe that's happened. And he was talking to his wife and said, listen, darling, what can I do? It's maybe my lack of faith, but I can't believe these stories. No, it looks, sounds amazing, but I just can't believe it. And the wife said, why don't you ask for a sign in your life? And he said, okay, so if God gives us a car, I would believe these signs. And the wife said, well, that's a bit selfish, okay? Ask for a car for the community, okay? That I could justify that. Okay, God, if you give a car to the community, I can believe in that. That was Saturday evening. Sunday morning, they turn up on the conference we were running. The first thing they saw, lady gave us a car. That didn't happen in the community for 26 years. Okay, that Sunday, a lady was convicted by God to give, that's actually the car I was driving, the red Peugeot. God convicted the lady to give this car to the community. Actually, that's what we needed in that time because we had new people coming and all that. This lady didn't know about this. This lady didn't, actually nobody knew about this conversation. It was just between the husband and wife. But you see, God knew about it. And God wanted to use a supernatural act because this lady had to hear God in a supernatural way. You know, a conviction from God, give this car to the community. And not 2 weeks later, but now. That was quite amazing. And probably if you think about your life, you know, your life are full of these signs. But often what I feel, we are not expectant with these signs. You know, we are not expectant. God in the Old Testament often spoke about, I don't want you to get this wrong, because we do love NHS and we do believe that God works through doctors. It's great. But God was really clear many times, turn your hearts to me first, about your sicknesses. And then, you know, go to the doctors, because he might want to use doctors. I hope my wife can share a bit about our family. We have this rule in our family. Before we go to the doctors, we always give a reasonable time for God, which is reasonable for the healing, but also we are parents and we have to be sensible and responsible for our children. So I'm not encouraging anybody to be foolish. But we say, God, if by 12 o'clock this is sorted out, you know, great, otherwise we're going to the doctors. But then until 12, we are expectant, because God wants to run with the healing. If you read the Bible, if you read the healings, there's no single trace of complaint from Jesus, somebody asking for healing. Did you think about that? It's only that pagan woman, but God wanted to do something in her heart, I believe, first. But actually, he healed the daughter at the end. But every single time somebody comes to Jesus for healing, Jesus grants the healing and never ever signs any sign of reproach or any sign of, oh, again, you again with your problems. But there are a few times Jesus gets angry in the Bible. Tell me a few occasions when Jesus gets upset. Money changers with the temple. That's about worship and worship first. Any other place, Jesus? Uh-huh. When, oh, okay. Yeah, when they send the children away. Yeah. Regularly with the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Especially in John. Gospel of John. Any other place? Ah, that's where I'm going. Great. He doesn't get angry often with the disciples. Actually, he tells off Peter once, you know, get behind me, Satan. But he gets really angry when they go up to the mountain. You know, they come back and they see the apostles being unable to cast out the devil and heal the boy. And he said, what does he say? Do you know? Yeah, I think that's the answer for the question when they ask, so what shall we do? Why couldn't we cast out? But when he shows the situation, he says, you unbelieving generation, how long shall I put up with you? That's what he says. He never says that to the paralytic, oh, you come again for your healing, or you're asking again for a supernatural act of something, provision or whatever. He never gets angry of those things. But he does get angry. And he says, how long shall I put up with you? That's Jesus. That's the compassionate Jesus. He gets angry of the lack of faith for the healing. No, and this is, again, you have to come back to the, we are beloved sons and daughter. We are beloved, saved by faith. Okay, so we are not going into guilt and condemnation. But we have to see where Jesus gets angry. That's serious. And when he gets angry with the disciples, that's even more serious. These are the guys who are with him all the time. You know, and he gets quite upset. So that's a serious point from him. Great. A few more stories about healing. And then we can do a bit of prayer. Don't know if you know some figures about conversions, what's happening around the world now. We met some missionaries in Indonesia who are working all around, but mainly in China. And they said, in China now they see daily 25,000 people coming to the Lord, daily. And that's mainly, it's not much preaching going around. They struggle to find Bibles, actually. That's mainly they come together, and there's so much power of God. I mean, you can see some on YouTube. So much power of God in the meeting that unbeliever just fell prostrate and say, this is God. the prophecy is just on a different level. The healings are unbelievable. Also because they don't have medical care, you know, that's quite serious for them. Every day, 25,000 people. In Latin America, that's 35,000. Every day. And these are people who are joining church. It's not just, you know, they're signing a paper. I've given my life to Jesus and then you never see them again. These are people who are followed up in a church. In Africa, that's 20,000 every day. I think I have another video. Can you go to the next one? I don't know if you know Reinhard Bonnke and Christ for All Nations. You know them. Should be another black slide. You don't see anything on it. It's just a black. But it's just so encouraging to see. And this is mainly because of the supernatural. At one point you will see some pictures of they pass the wheelchairs and crutches and everything forward. You know, they always have, after these crusades, they have a big pile of wheelchairs and crutches.
We all need a savior, and his name is Jesus. He wants to walk hand in hand with you. Are you happy?
Today is your day of salvation. Now is your time of salvation. This week is your week of salvation. If you believe that tonight, shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Tonight, you may come here as weak as can be. You will go home like a conqueror with Jesus inside of you.
Friends, he took the punishment for your sins and the punishment for my sins.
In the last 6 years, they had 34 million people joining a church
Jesus, hallelujah.
And being followed up and staying in the church for at least 6 months. 34 million just in the last 6 years, and this is just only one mission. It's not about numbers, but it's about reaching those people who are out there. Now, Paul says in Ephesians, I think it's 6, that, you know, it's 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. You know, these spiritual gifts are our love to our brothers and sisters. As I said, we go on the streets, and there's so much suffering out there. You who work with, you know, homeless or people who need jobs, you know that. There's so much need for God. Every Tuesday, our heart is broken just seeing how much need there is in people know, people are suffering spiritually in their bodies, a lot of torment. No, and these people need a supernatural act of God. I am broken every time we pray for somebody and they are not healed. And I just have to, we always make sure we encourage them and send them away with blessings so they feel built up. But I feel, God, there is more. I believe there is more in this book. Why didn't I see this blind boy healed? We met a blind boy from Iraq. Because of the bombing, he got completely blind. He was walking with his father. Not a broken life. And I thought, God, this is not right. This is a consequence of sin. And you came. You hang on that cross. So this boy can see. Have a full life. Jesus says in John 10:10, I came for them to have life in abundance. But that boy doesn't live a life in abundance. And I cannot be satisfied with not seeing that boy healed. I know the Father loves me. I am saved. But in the same time, I am broken when I see these people suffering and not being healed. Or because of my lack of faith or desire or perseverance in prophecy, their lives are not changed. Because we go into an argument and it leads nowhere. If I had an accurate word, the life could be changed that day. We saw a boy, it was just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we went to Nottingham for healing service. And a guy came in because of an accident, fell down from the trampoline. His neck was fractured. And his right hand was completely paralyzed. No feelings, no movement. He could move the thumb just 1 millimeter. No feeling, no movement. We prayed for the sick. Somebody from the community went over, prayed for him. And instantly the life just came back to his hand. Instantly. Like that. He was crying. He couldn't believe it. And he had 3 brothers. He had the whole family there crying and praying for him. It was just amazing. He still didn't have any feeling or movement in the lower part of his body. We prayed, nothing happened. But his hand came back. And then the younger brother who was 15, came to my wife, because we had an altar call at the end, came to my wife and said, well, when I came into this healing service, I thought, what am I doing here? I don't really believe in God. What am I doing here? And my brother is paralyzed. But when I see God healing my brother, of course God exists. Of course God loves me. And he was crying. Then my wife led him into prayer of forgiveness and all that. That's just beautiful. Just beautiful. If you want to reach more young people, they need to see the power of God. They need a cool church service. I'm not sure they do. I'm not sure they do. When they see the power of God, when they see the presence of God in them, and it's not just a big explanation of, oh, this must be God, but it's actually not really clear for them. It's when it's, my brother's hand just came back to life in front of my eyes. You know, that, you don't have any other explanation for that. And we need this kind of power for the church now. Because there are loads of people out there we need to reach. So I just want to pray for you at the end. Just for desire. I found that's the desire and faith are the key things. You see, because if you desire this for the sake of love, if you desire it, then God will give you more faith. For the supernatural. God will give you more experiences, more opportunities. But if we, you pointed that out, that Jesus argued probably the most with the Pharisees, and he could help tax collectors, prostitutes, everybody. He couldn't really help the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees thought, I think I'm okay. You know, I'm doing everything which I'm supposed to do. I think I'm okay. And Jesus can't really work with that kind of attitude. He can work with a broken heart. He can work with a heart who comes and says, Lord, I need more. I don't love enough. I don't love enough. I could be more fruitful in the kingdom. I could love those people out there more. I could love my church more. Lord, help me. Allow your heart to be broken. Like this tax collector who came, you know, at the back of the church and said, Lord, I'm not worthy for your grace. And then God says, he went away justified. Why the Pharisee didn't. So in this prayer, just close your eyes. Just allow God to touch your heart and just feel the need. Just feel the need. You are loved, you are accepted. It's not about that. But we still need more for the kingdom, for the sake of the people, for the sake of love. Oh Lord, I ask you to come and just pour out a great hunger and desire and love on these people, that they're going to hunger and love for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. 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 Lord, we want more of you. Lord, we want more of your anointing, not for our glory, for your glory, Lord. And for these people who are lost and need to be saved, we want more of the anointing, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Need you, Lord. Lord, I ask you now to come with your Holy Spirit. Come with your spirit of prophecy. Come with the gift of healing. Come with the gift of performing miracles of nature. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pour out your spirit, Lord. More of your anointing, Lord. And now just ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want me to take one practical step in this area? One. Maybe he will show you somebody you need to approach. Maybe he will show you, you know, start praying for prophecy or words of knowledge for your friends or family. We ask you that every time we read the Bible and we encounter you in the Bible, just give us a greater hunger and desire for all the works you want for us, for all the supernatural works you want for us. Amen. Amen. Great. Hope you're encouraged. And again, there is no no guilt or condemnation. No, but we have a mission to do. We have a mission to do. Richard.